I want to bring on Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers. Ian, thank you again for stopping in, and why don't you inform our audience a little bit about yourself and your background and your company.
Sure, thanks. Appreciate you having me, Paul.
Sure.
Yeah, my background, I started in investing in 2008 in the real estate market.
Okay.
I had no background in terms of no money, right? Came out of school and had no money. So
yeah.
I need to learn how to do this, and actually got into a formal or a term that investors use called wholesaling. So I learned actually how to underwrite via wholesaling, and which led into actually two other businesses, being property management and hard money lending, which is being the bank. So that's what I do today. And
okay.
I have two partners in Maryland for our lending perspective, and we offer a lot of times financing for investors that typically don't want to deal with the bank or can't deal with the bank or whatever it may be, and they need to close fast. And we're usually the guys that come in, and construction and acquisition financing, that's our thing. So.
Okay. So you mentioned about wholesaling. Can you give us a brief description about what wholesaling is?
So wholesaling, I think every investor that gets in this at some point read the book, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? So
right.
I read that, and I saw there was an excerpt about him flipping a house in Arizona by signing a contract. And that's what wholesaling is. So I said, I have to learn how to do this. Is this real? And it is. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple, where you actually figure out what an investor or a good investment will pay in an area. And back
okay.
in 2008, 2009, the only people paying at that time were cash buyers. You didn't have – there was no – bank money wasn't on the streets. So the only people buying was the smart money that they would come in and they would say, Ian, you know, I'm good to buy this house in this area at, say, $35,000. So I would then market, find sellers that were interested and that were agreeing to pay maybe that $35,000. I'm sorry, $25,000, and there's a spread there between $25,000 and $35,000.
Right.
Well, that's the assignment fee that back then it was called an assignment fee. A lot of times people double close. People are familiar with that term, double closing. There's different ways to do it, but effectively what you're doing is selling the rights on the contracts, and the actual end buyer, the end investor, is the one who's closing, and there's a spread in between that. The assignor, which would be me, or the wholesaler, is keeping. So I know there's been laws since then that have actually come into play via wholesaling for much bigger fish, and it's been a lot of years since I've wholesaled a property, but back then that was, you know, that a lot of people did it, and people still do it a lot today. It's just in the investment world. So.
Okay. And then what is hard money? What, you know, can you explain that for our audience too?
Yeah, I guess it gets a so our company being Hard Money Bankers, you know, so we took the domain name. It's a good domain name. So that was why we did it. But it's really,
okay.
you know, you're going to hear different terms for it, anywhere from the old terms of subprime lending or private money, or some people like to call it soft money. There's very small differences between all of that, but it's really. Usually, at least the way we're structured, it's privately funded transactions.
Okay.
We're not a bank. So it's money that you need for a flip or something a bank just won't lend on. So you come to me with a house and say, hey, look, I got a house that has no roof. You know, it was a fire burnout. The banks aren't going to touch it. I need to close in 5 days, and I need $80,000 in construction to do it.
Okay.
We're the guy you call. So you're coming for the hard money. So it's a short-term note as well. It's typically a 9 to 12-month note is what you're looking at, and most people exit with a flip.
Okay. So like you said, most of the time it's used for flips. What are common mistakes people make, you know, with flips as far as, you know, if they use private money?
So being in the business a while, you get to see a lot of different people do a lot of different things.
Sure.
Right? So, and everybody's got their own version of it. And a lot of people, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, too.
Right.
So I've seen people do things differently that works for them, and it works in their model. I've also seen people do things not so efficiently. And a couple of the downfalls, I would say the two biggest ones. One, you're trying to buy too high. There's a lot of deals out there, and people get stuck on, you know, we call it small pipeline syndrome. You're only looking at one deal, two deals, you're falling in love with it, and you're forgetting what's really important, which is you're out here to make money. It's a business.
Right.
So I see people buy too high at times. Doesn't expose our position anymore. I'll still take my position, and I try to tell my investors in code word, effectively, hey, I'm not seeing eye to eye on what you're seeing here. Doesn't mean I'm right, but I'll never be on the wrong side of wrong. So, you know, I see them buy too high at times, and then they have to work really, really well to get it done on, you know, and make a profit.
Right.
The other end of it is construction. You know, on TV, which is why you and I bumped into each other through a video I put out, was they make it look real easy and sexy on TV. This is a sweating game. I mean, you know, you can make a lot of money in it, a ton. But You got to buy right, and then you got to do your construction right, and you've got to have the right crews. Because I've seen, and I have seen this, where you have a sweetheart of a deal, and then you have a contractor that either, or maybe you offset your terms of your contractor. Maybe you underbid your numbers or took the wrong numbers. That contractor or you, you know, you always have to assume responsibility for your own deals, could easily take a sweetheart of a deal, botch it all up for you, and before you know it, you know, they're not putting that number on TV for you. So that's, you know, those two areas are really what I see where people can either make or break their transaction.
Okay, excellent. So I got a lot more questions for you, Ian, but we need to take another break. So we'll be right back with Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers, talking more about, you know, private money and some of the pitfalls and some of the advantages of it. So we'll be right back with more on Real Estate Today with Paul Rosso. Stay tuned. A lot more
coming
up.
Are you looking to sell your home for quick cash? Do you have a home that is dated or in need of repair and just want to sell the house as is for cash? Well, be careful of those fast cash for houses sharks. Before you do anything, give Paul Rosso with RE/MAX Properties a call. Paul can help you evaluate your home and your situation, and then help you decide if you should go for a quick cash sale or if you would be better off putting your home on the market and selling it as is. Give Paul a call now at 215-968-7402 for a no-cost, no-obligation, fair and honest evaluation, or reach out to him online at cashorsell.com.
Congratulations! You just signed a contract on your dream home. Now it's time to have a comprehensive examination of the home for your protection and to get the answers to all of your questions about the home. Be sure to call the professionals at DelVal Home Inspectors for all of your home inspection needs. They have the experience and knowledge to give you an honest evaluation of the condition of the home so you can make the right decisions about the home. Call DelVal Home Inspectors today at 215-850-3819. That's 215-850-3819.
Gen X, Gen Y, Millennial, Generation Me, Generation Internet. You know who you are. You've been crushed by this economy. College debt, credit issues, lack of savings, but things are turning around for you. So if you're trying to move out of your parents' home, a friend's house, or an apartment, now's the time to do it. Interest rates are low. Prices are good. You know you need to get out and you need to get your own place, a piece of the American dream. Look, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to find out what's it going to take for you to buy a home. You know the smart thing to do is to call or text Paul Rosso with RE/MAX Properties right now at 215-778-9687 to get yourself on a path to home ownership. Paul is fighting for your generation. He's not counting you out. He believes in you. He's here to give you the advice and tools you need to buy a home right now. Call or text Paul now at 215-778-9687. That's 215-778-9687.
Welcome back to Real Estate Today with Paul Rosso. So happy to have you join us today on WWDB Talk 860 AM. The show is also streamed live on our website at realestatetodayshow.com. Our call number, if you have any questions or comments for Ian Walsh with Hard Money Lenders, Hard Money Bankers, is 215-778-9687, 215-778-9687. You can also follow us on Twitter at Paul Rosso. So we continue our discussion about private money, or also known as hard money lending, with Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers. And Ian, you know, you mentioned before about these loans are typically short-term loans. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Sure. So, you know, unlike a bank where you're looking at like a 25 or 30-year fixed mortgage, or
right,
what have you, I mean, our money is
9 to 12 months because it's based on the typical exit strategy. There's really three options that I see. You're either flipping a house, which is a very common use of our money.
Right.
So if you're in a loan for more than 12 months, there's probably something that went wrong, or you're flipping a house in Boca Raton, and then I understand. So the other option is a refinance where you do have a bank that takes you out in the long term. So I have some buy and hold investors that use our money on the short term, and then on the long term they refi out. Sometimes we also have bridge loans, which is not as common, where it's used for a much bigger project that somebody's leveraging properties against. So it's one of those three things. That's why it's a 9 to 12 month note that you're typically in. Most, the sweet spot for our flippers tends to be they're in and out in about 5 or 6 months.
Okay. And can someone use you who's like who wants to buy their own a home for themselves, but they're having trouble getting a loan through FHA or conventional or VA?
So it's a good question. Yes and no. So we typically don't do owner-occupied. We're okay. Very much investment-based. Now, what I do have from time to time, if you're using the money for a business purpose,
okay,
that is an okay loan for us. So I might have an investor that says, look, I'm buying a house. I need to take money out. So, but they have investment properties that they're then going to use to leverage that money against. And if I'm comfortable with the positions against the investment properties, if they so choose to do work on their house or whatever, that's a possibility.
Okay.
But it's not very typical that we work with owner-occupied.
Okay. So you do a short-term loan, someone's flipping, having some issues, and it's taking longer than necessary. Will you continue to loan with them?
That's a good question. The reality is I can foreclose on a house, right?
Okay.
And I can take it back. I don't want to. There's some hard money companies are structured on the backyard term is loan to own situations because they're in a great position. If I ever had to take it back, sure, but we have done well over 1,000 loans, and I can tell you that I don't know if we've ever foreclosed on one or fully foreclosed or it's minimal. It's under 99.7% or something that we ever deal with because we look for a reason or a way to work it out with our borrowers. We're looking, if you have an extra month, you're in good standing with us. I don't want your house. I'm in the business of giving you money. I'm not in the business of taking your house. So we have good relationships with our borrowers. I meet every one of my borrowers that we work with. And if something pops up, and it does from time to time, we try to make sense of it and find a way to have a creative solution for it. So.
Okay. Now, are they making monthly payments on this while they're doing the flip, or is it all paid off, all the interest and all paid off after the after they flip the house?
So your standard project, if I don't know you, it's our first one together. We get very creative as we have relationships built. But out of the gates, most of the time you have an interest-only payment that you're making until you flip it.
Okay.
If the deal is deep enough or it makes enough sense, we can roll some of those payments in. We can roll 6 months of payments in. Now you're not making any payments. It's on the loan. A lot of that is based on the asset because that's what we're focused on is the asset.
Sure.
So how deep is the asset? It's not credit-based and stuff like that. So if it's good enough, we can make sense of that. If I'm not comfortable with it, we'll just, I'll tell you that as well. So.
Okay. And then typically, once the house is flipped, you're totally paid off, just like you would a regular mortgage.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a payoff sent. It's paid down. The investor keeps their profits that they made, and then the loan is paid off. Exactly.
Okay. And I would assume the interest rates would be higher than they could get normally, but they can't get, they're not going to maybe get loans for flips anyway.
Sure. I can give you a breakdown on how it works. And a lot of people get stuck on this too. A lot of people.
Sure.
So you're going to see rates in our industry anywhere on the very low end of, 12%. And the high end, I've seen 16%. We're somewhere.
So someone doing their first flip's going to wow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What am I going to do? Right. So, but the reality is this, because it's short term and amortized over 9 to 12 months.
Right.
You're really paying about 0.1% to 1.2% a month.
Okay.
So if you're fast with our money, it's really cheap. So if, that's money ticking at, let's say it's 5 months, well, five months times 1.2%, that's 7%, 8% on your money is what you paid. Now, if you go the whole 12 months, 1.2 times 12, there's your, there's 14% or whatever the number may be. So I usually tell people don't get hung up on that. As long as you're efficient with what you're doing, it should be negligible for what you're looking at. In our industry across the board, you're 12 to 16%, but it is not worth going with a lender that does not know what they're doing in this business and trying to save a point and then botching it up at the table or screwing up your draw schedules.
Right.
It's worth dealing with somebody who knows how to play this game. So.
Okay. So you talk about draw schedules. You're issuing a certain amount of money in stages
exactly.
of the project?
Okay. Yeah. So usually if you came to me and said, I have, an $80,000 acquisition and $30,000 in construction, you might say, I need to do 3 draws. So what happens is we've calculated for that, and we escrow that $30,000 for the construction at the table.
Okay.
And you'll complete phase one and say kitchens, bathrooms, and roof are in place. Okay, great. Our inspector's out, takes pictures. We verify it. Work was done. We wire in that $10,000. We do that all the way up till it's on the market. So then it verifies the work is being completed, and that's what the money is being used for. So, and again, that comes back to if you're not using the right lender, I've heard horror stories where it could take somebody 2 or 3 weeks to get an inspector out there to the property. Well, the problem is when you're ticking at 1% a month, that's a whole month of interest you just gave away. So it's really important. You want to find out the lender you're working with, what's their draw schedule process like, and we try to keep it we're usually out in 72 hours and wiring the money that day because we know your time is money, and we work with professionals that it's sensitive to it. So it's those kind of questions are relevant.
Okay. So I think a key would be working with a lender that's local also versus a national lender doing this.
Yeah, it's a good question. So local lenders have a huge advantage to work with, you have a huge advantage working with a local lender, and there's not a whole lot of them in many spaces. Now, you'll find a lot of national lenders that are trying to deploy a lot of capital. The problem is they don't know the market, and they're probably underwriting this from, I don't know, Texas, California. They're really just institutionally backed, which really means they're pretty much backed by a bank anyway, so their underwriting process is not like what ours would be. So a local lender should be able to do what we do in the Fort Washington, Philadelphia area, which is you send me, you know, this morning, I'll have three or four of my borrowers that'll send me a deal and they'll say, here's my construction numbers, here's my address, and here's the acquisition price. I will tell you later that day because I've done the underwriting already and said, we're in or we're out, and we're closing in 5 days. Whereas a national lender who doesn't know the market, they're going to have a process that is already being they're calling it hard money, but it's really some form of bank money that they're putting out there at a higher percent. Okay. So they're waiting on an appraisal. They're going to have somebody that's probably brokering a deal versus, you know, like you want to deal with a direct lender in your space, which would be like us. So you're going to run into a lot more snags and a lot more reasons that somebody's going to end up calling me a few days ahead of time. You're going to end up calling a local lender anyway saying, I need to close this thing. My lender just fell out. So if you have local lenders, I strongly advise speaking with them first because that relationship is key. You'll use it for the next 20 years. So
yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned about closing in 5 days. It's you know, not the typical
right
thing. So is that pretty much – is that typical, though – in the private lending?
Sure. Yeah, it's very common. I mean, you know, a lot of our loans open on a Monday in terms of you say, hey, Ian, I need to close this. I'm closing right Friday. You start developing a relationship with us, and you might text me the night before and say, I need to close this tomorrow. So it moves that quickly. It doesn't have to, you know, because you might have the other end that says I'm 30 days out. You give me 30 days, that's like 3 years in a normal mortgage world. So we're very accustomed to closing in that five-day period, and your lender should be able to.
And so, you know, which helps – a buyer get a better deal too, I would think. You know, being
absolutely
able to close quickly on a seller's house.
Time versus money, right? That's
yeah.
How I'll be here on Friday with the check.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what do you look at? Do you look at qualification at all, or you look at the deal itself, the property itself?
Good. So, asset base is what we're considered.
Okay.
There's four big C's that we look at with underwriting from a localized perspective, and I think banks should really take notes on it and do it more often too. We have collateral, which is the most important to us. I'm really basing the deal on collateral. If you don't have a good deal, I'm out. Doesn't matter how good of a borrower you are.
So when you say a good deal, like the numbers, if the numbers don't make sense to you, are you having the property appraised or?
No, it's me underwriting it. So that's why I'm here. I can underwrite. So I'm looking at it. You're calling me up. I'm on, you know, the local MLS system just like anybody else. And I'm saying, this is where I see the value.
Okay.
So I've underwritten it and I say, yep, we got a good deal. We're 65 cents on the dollar, less construction costs. Here's we're good. I am going to ask questions, though. I am going to see who I'm dealing with. Character is another C. So I'm going to find out, you know, whom can I sit across the table from you and shake your hand? What's your experience level? What have you done in this business? You don't have to be experienced, but if you're not experienced, you better be pretty squared away. I better know that you're answering all the other questions correctly that we're having. And I like to deal with people I like, and they like to deal with me if they like me.
Sure.
Cash can offset. Not offset collateral. Cash can be one of the weighing factors. So if I'm uncomfortable with something, I can reduce my position and say instead of maybe giving you 100 grand, I'll give you 75. Okay, nothing offsets anything in a deal better, including credit, than cold hard cash. Who's
right
going to walk away from an extra 25 or 30 grand in cash if they got to bring it to the table? They're vested in the deal too. So there's a balancing act played there, but I would say 90% of it is based on the deal. If you don't that at a 30, let's say I look at about 30 a day. 28 of those are probably no's. I'm going to say it's not going to work. And I'm probably keeping you out of a bad deal, so you can send me a thank you if you like. But so I'm saying no, and two of them are good deals. And that's what it really comes down to. If you find a good deal, it will be funded. If you don't have a good deal, you know, you might have overlooked something, or I'll explain to you why. I'll say, hey, this is what I'm seeing in my underwriting. This is why I'm not comfortable. But it really starts with that asset, and that's why it's 90% of what we're looking at.
Are you looking at credit at all?
I do. I'll look at it to consider it. But that's of the four C's, that's the last on the list where people think that should be the first. It just, you know, if your credit's dinged up, and there were some people that got beat up in 2008,
yeah,
but they're extremely experienced. So there's certain things that can offset it in my mind. And, you know, the initial few deals, if your credit's a little dinged up, you might bring more cash to the table. We can still do the deal. But and then as we develop a relationship, I get comfortable with, hey, this, you know, this is what happened to him. There was a legitimate reason that the credit was banged up, and we have a relationship. You can execute, you can perform. We can get back to our aggressive numbers. So there's always workarounds, and that's how we can get pretty creative with it.
Okay, excellent. So we got a lot more questions in, but I need to take another break. So when we come back, we'll be talking again with Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers. We have a few more questions to go over. I want to go over with you, you know, as far as you know, contractors and how, you know, how they play into it, whether or not the people doing the work themselves or hiring other contracts, and a few other questions also. So we'll be right back with more with Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers on Real Estate Today with Paul Rosso. Stay tuned. A lot more coming up.
You just purchased your dream home, and now it's time for you to choose a title company to insure your title in your new home. At RK Abstract, we not only insure your title, we're committed to providing you with exceptional customer service and educating you throughout the entire process. And when your settlement day comes along, we'll be there for you every step of the way to answer any of your questions and help to ensure a smooth closing. So whether you're buying your dream home or refinancing your current mortgage, you have the right to choose your own title insurance company. Title insurance rates are state regulated in Pennsylvania, so be sure to choose a title company that's committed to you. RK Abstract makes that commitment to you. Give us a call at 267-279-9332. 267-279-9332, so we can serve you. RK Abstract is licensed in the state of Pennsylvania.
Why the long face, Joe?
I'm supposed to move soon, but I just can't seem to sell my house. I've been on the market for over 10 months, and my agent hasn't called me back in weeks. I don't know what to do.
Call Paul.
What?
Call Paul. I had the same problem until I called Paul Rosso of RE/MAX Properties. When I called Paul, I had buyers lining up to see my home, and because they were all competing for the home, I was able to sell my home for more than my asking price.
More?
That's right, more. Paul Rosso has sold hundreds of homes in the greater Philadelphia region over the last 25 years. As a certified home selling advisor and certified negotiation expert, Paul's developed a proven home selling system that is designed to sell your home for top dollar quickly. He offers an easy exit contract and a communication guarantee.
Wow! Tell me how to call Paul.
Just dial 215-968-7402.
215-968-7402. Got it.
You can also visit Paul on the web at paulrosso.com. That's PAULROSSO.com. Paul Rosso is your trusted real estate advisor if you want to sell your home for top dollar fast.
I'm calling Paul right now.
Hi, this is Manny and Jessica, and we just wanted to let you guys know how much a fantastic agent Paul Rosso is. He helped us buy our first house many, many years ago, and he just helped us buy our second house. We used to live in Philly, and we were looking for something bigger for our two children and also a better school district. And Paul was very professional and punctual, I would say, was very knowledgeable about our options and where to look and what to do. We were very happy with his service and his patience with us. He was always there to help us through with any questions and, you know, areas and suggestions. And I would definitely recommend Paul to anyone looking to buy a house or to sell a house.
You are listening to Real Estate Today with Paul Rosso, my dad, on WWDB Talk Radio, 860 AM and WWDBAM.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Today. I'm your host, Paul Rosso, your trusted real estate expert, advisor, and advocate with RE/MAX Properties. Hey, if you need to get your home sold this year, give me a call first. I have a proven, repeatable system backed by market research to sell your home for up to 18% more money than traditional real estate agents. You can always give me a call at 215-778-9687. That's 215-778-9687. That's my mobile number. And you can also visit my website, PaulRosso.com. That's PaulRosso.com. And be sure to like our Facebook page, Facebook.com/PaulRossoRealEstateAdvisor. And you can also listen to the show on your smartphone or tablet with the TuneIn and iHeartRadio apps. Hey, we'll continue a great discussion with Ian Walsh with Hard Money Bankers, talking about hard money or private money. And Ian, how much money down do people typically need when they're going through, you know, a private lender?
So there's no hard rule here. It's not as standardized as your banks will be.
Okay.
What we typically like to see, you want to certainly have some liquidity in the game.
Sure.
On the very low end with an experienced borrow, I'd see maybe 10%. On average, I probably see about 20% of the loan size. So if the total loan's 100 grand, pretty common to see 15, 20 grand cash to close at the table. So that makes the lender comfortable that, you know, you're in this, and the borrower should be able to be liquid enough, because it also shows that if you hit a bump, you know, are you capable of pulling yourself away from that bump and so forth. So that's usually what we see.
Okay. So it looks like the key in all this is, to get the house at the right price. As I try to tell a lot of sellers who try to get over the market, you know, you make your money in the buying end, because you can always try to buy under the market, but it's difficult to sell over the market. So I'm sure, do you have any like ratios that you normally look for as far as how deep the discount is when someone's, coming to you and says, hey, I got this great deal?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you right out of the gates the way I'm analyzing it. So we use the ARV, which is after repaired value, which means that I don't care what your value is right now, but I do care what it's going to be when it's fixed up.
Right.
So let's say my ARV is $200,000. I will then use a multiplier of 65%. I can go into the long and short of that, but there's a reason it's used, and it's typically the margin that an investor should be around when they're trying to calculate their profits. So 65% of your ARV, usually minus your construction, is usually where the investor's buying it. So it usually works out to be about 20 or 30 cents of the ARV is where you're going to end up. You should be purchasing. If you're purchasing at 70% of ARV, you're too high. And you're 100% correct. You can't tell enough people that you do make your money. It's the first thing you learn in real estate. You make your money when you buy. There's a million reasons that holds true, and it's probably the only one that matters more than anything else in this business. But that saying has a lot to it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always possible that someone's going to get more than the market, but the majority of the time you're not going to get more than the market, or if you are, it's going to be just slightly over the market. You got a great house and you got a hot market or a hot neighborhood, but otherwise you're definitely making your money on the buying end there. And I guess one of the other keys is the contractors, like either being able to do the work yourself or hiring the right team of contractors to be able to make this work properly too.
Huge end of it. It's a huge end of it. And that's what we said earlier. That's one of the traps if you don't know what you're doing. And I see guys that, I work with some guys that are contractors by nature, so they know very much how to deal with that.
Right.
So it's really important that you vet your contractors. I would say know how you're structuring the payouts on it, because the biggest downfall is when your contractor, let's say I assume there's a lot of great contractors, don't get me wrong. If you have one that's not great, that gets ahead of you on money in terms of you've given them more money than work they've done, now you're in their pocket. And that's a pretty dangerous place to be, because if they walk away from the job, they've made money.
Right.
And you have a big problem because now you've lost money. So it's really important the way you structure your contracts with your contractors that you're protecting your money as you go. And I would say vet your contractors and work with reputable contractors in the area that can vouch for what they're doing. Don't try to cut costs by a couple $1,000 for a guy that just started his business yesterday. Work with guys that know what they're doing.
Right, because if contractor gets up and leaves and you got to look for another contractor, that's costing you money.
Time and money. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Now, we talked about private money. We talked about hard money. Is there any difference at all between the two? Is it pretty much the same?
Private money is usually – so the way it's referred to in our business is private money is usually more like somebody you maybe know who maybe has a couple hundred grand or even $1 million that they can lend to you. They're not as polished. They don't know the procedures. They probably don't have the closing docs and everything set up. It's like going to your mom or your dad saying, hey, can you loan me against this house?
Okay.
It might be a little cheaper for you. It might be a little bit more of a pain because they're going to sweat harder. We keep about 20 or 30 million in rotation. So there's never a funding issue on our end. I've never had one. And you run into those kind of differences. They're usually less funded, less sophisticated. They're not going to know how to help you out. They're not going to know how to comp and give you a second opinion like we can. So that's kind of what you run into versus hard money versus private. Other than that, there's no real difference.
Yeah. And, as I'm thinking about our discussion here, I'm sure, a lot, for a buyer is to know the marketplace also, wherever they're buying at.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys and a lot of people use me my best borrowers use my knowledge or my awareness of underwriting to bounce deals back and forth. So one of the best things you can do is, even if they know their market very well, which is extremely important, your farm area, as we call them, you got to know where you're making money because you know that area like the back of your hand. They'll still come to me and say, hey, do you see anything here that I'm not seeing? Because the last thing you ever want to do in real estate is lose money. It's the number one rule. Don't lose money.
Right.
So my experienced investors, you know, they'll use me as a second opinion, and it's almost like an added service, which you're only going to get from a local lender. It's almost like an added service that, truth is, I'm not putting my money on it. So I can just, when I say to them, no, there's a reason. It doesn't mean I'm right. It just means there's a reason, and they want to double check their numbers a lot of times. So they like to, hopefully I've saved a lot of investors money at times. So,
yeah, definitely. And, you know, is there anything else that we haven't, covered yet that you think would be important for our audience to know about?
I don't think there's a whole lot in terms of it's simple. It should be a simple process. If it's time consuming and you feel like you're going through something that's dragging out, you're not working with the right lender. Working with a local lender and establishing that relationship, if you're serious about flipping, is extremely important, because either you're going to learn that out now by calling or talking to me, or you're going to learn it out when the deal goes south and then you're going to talk to me. But it's really that important. There's not a lot of people in this space. It's not a bridge you want to burn. It's a relationship you want to develop. So,
okay. Excellent. And how can people reach out to you if they have any questions?
Yeah, our website, obviously by our name, we are hardmoneybankers with an S at the end, .com. So hardmoneybankers.com. You can email me directly. My first name is IAN Ian@hardmoneybankers.com, or just call direct. I'll pick up the phone. I call back every day. So it's 215-839-3271. It's 215-839-3271.
Okay. And yeah, I just noticed we had a couple more minutes. Is there, can you give us a quick case study of one transaction that you had?
Sure. You talk about creative financing. We have one going on right now. That's interesting. So I had a borrower, and this comes just from being in the business. I had a borrower. I didn't really know him too well yet. He sounded fairly qualified, but I wasn't quite comfortable with the area of the city that he was working in.
Okay.
And this is why having a local lender can be very advantageous. I did have another person that came. We know who is extremely experienced in that area. And my comfort level was, hey, the guy on one side who has a good deal, I don't know him too well, wasn't quite sure that he could handle the size of this project. On the other side, I have a guy who frequently buys in that area. I know his caliber of work, and I know that he's capable of doing it. So in one phone call, I said, hey, look, I got a guy that I'd be comfortable with giving you the money on if you two partner. So they form a separate LLC partnership, and this happens frequently, that I connected him with and said, we'll use my funding. You guys partner up. I know you have the right guy on one side to produce the product. You have the deal. And that makes sure that both of you are going to be able to make money on it. And then I was able to then get more comfortable with being aggressive with my numbers and then put more money on the streets for them. So you want to be able to truly, when you talk about creative financing, it has a lot to do with the person lending the money and pulling that together and understanding the assets and the attributes of the people on either side of it and potentially putting people together that maybe they didn't know what they were missing, and now it becomes a very strong deal and it secures them. It's so important for me. I want to see people make money. Because you lose money, or you lose money on a deal, I don't want to see it because it's not good for anyone.
Sure.
And B, you'll never do a deal again. So if I can help in any way to do that, you know, your local lender should be able to do that for you. If they can't do that, they're just turning paper and they're not really bringing to the table what they're there for. So
yeah, and you know, Ian, I can I really appreciate your how much you share today.
Sure.
And I want to thank you so much for coming in. And just give out your phone number one more time.
Sure, yeah. It's 215-839-3271.
Okay, terrific. So.